Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Rosario Abati, Company Founder of Scriptures. As usual, I would like to thank you for ordering this month's tape, and I hope with all my heart that it will be a great inspiration and revelation to you. Now, the purpose of our monthly teaching tapes is to teach all who listen their true, T-R-U-E, their true relationship with God through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, whether you are a new or a mature Christian, I'm sure that you'll enjoy listening to these tapes. Listen as often as you can, either while driving or in your home. The more you listen, the more you will understand. I'd also like to mention that you have our full permission to copy this tape as many times as you like. You know, we don't put a copyright on God's Word or His teachings. They're free. Salvation is free. The Word of God is free. So copy it as many times as you like and give it away free to your friends, family, and any unsaved person you may know. I'd also like to mention the fact that our teaching tapes are only $8, but this does qualify as a $10 purchase. And if you want to purchase any additional tapes, and you can purchase as many as you like, they're only $3, and it always includes shipping. So we try to make it very, very inexpensive for our members to get our tapes. If you'd like a list of all the tapes that we've made up to this point, all you need to do is either write us or call us. The phone number's on this tape, and we'll be glad to get you a list of all the tapes that we have made. Now, this month's lesson is entitled Understanding Circumstances, and it's tape offer number 0004. Now, as long as I've been around, I have never met a person that didn't get caught up into some kind of circumstance. Now, this either is a person in the world or a brother or sister in Christ. And I think many times when we get caught up in unpleasant circumstances, because these are the ones that bother us the most and affect us the most, when we get caught up in circumstances that bring strife or heartache or sorrow or whatever, I think immediately what we seem to think or what we want to do is, you know, God, get me out of this. And that's good and that's understandable, because no one wants to live a life of strife or sorrow or anything that brings discomfort into your life. But you know what? God has a purpose for circumstances. And I think once we know why circumstances happen to us, then we most certainly will be able to confront them that much easier, you know, and be able to experience God's love, joy, and peace like He said we would. Otherwise, we get caught up in a circumstance and we try to change it by our own human effort. Or we think in some cases, and the reason I say this is because many people seem to think this, and it's so false, I would like to tell you what it is. When you get caught up in a circumstance that's unpleasant, let's say, for instance, you lost your job. You had a job for 30 years, and then all of a sudden, one day, your boss comes to you and says they're closing the plant. And you're close to 60 years old or whatever, and you're not old enough to retire, and you probably think in your mind, oh God, where am I going to possibly ever get a job? I'm too old. You know, I'm just using this as an example. And a lot of times what people think, and it's false, friends, you know, they look to self and they try to understand or try to think that, you know, God's punishing me in some way. I must have did something wrong. And then what they do is they start to search themselves to try to find some kind of fault or some kind of reason why this happened. Or they say that the devil is after me. Well, none of this is true, okay? Now, what I'd like you to do, and I certainly want everyone to understand this teaching, what I'd like you to do is, if you have a King James Bible or any other Bible, you know, I read out of the King James, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 5, and we're going to read something that Paul talked about, and it's how he handled circumstances. And I hope that the God that you really learn what Paul is trying to teach us here, and then we'll go to a few other scriptures, and hopefully I'll be able to help you. Oh, one thing I'd like to mention, you know, when I say I hope I can help you, you know, the only thing that helps anyone is the truth. Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, Paul taught some disciples who were Jews in, I think it was Athens in the book of Acts, and it said that they were very noble-minded. And what they did is they listened to everything that Paul said, and then they went home to find out, and they studied the scriptures to find out if these things are true. Well, my friends, I encourage you to do the same thing. It's fine to listen to someone. It's fine to purchase these tapes. But what you must do on your own is you must say, well, let me check this out. I want to find out if this really is true. And the only way you're going to do that is to pick up the Bible and study it yourself. Paul told Timothy, study, not read, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word. Now, what you need to know is that when God says something, he means what he says. It's not, yeah, it says that, but. There are no buts with God. It means what it says. Okay? Now, with that in mind, if you have a Bible, and if you don't, you can just easily stop this tape. Go to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 5, and I'm going to read till 13. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So whatever's on your mind, whatever thing that may be troubling you, or what, let God know about it. I mean, he's the only one that really can do anything about our troubles, and he's the only one that can really honestly and truly comfort us in unpleasant circumstances. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, see that? All understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. See, now the word hearts, when you see that, it doesn't mean your human heart, but the heart is a euphemism for your conscience. See, God wants to keep your conscience clean and your mind clean. And the only way we can do it is through Jesus Christ. If you're walking around with a guilty conscience, this is not Christianity, my friends. And if you're interested in finding out more about this, not that I'm trying to sell anything, but we do have a tape called A Clean Conscience. And I hope maybe that you can order that on your next order. If you order it along with your next tape, it's only $3. I don't know the number of it right offhand, but be easy to find out. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So if you want to have the peace of God, you know, don't think about how much you hate your boss or the neighbor next door that mows his lawn 4 o'clock in the morning and wakes you up, or the neighbor that has the barking dog that barks all day, or whatever. See, don't, you know, I'm not saying don't think about these things, because that's impossible to do. But when you're confronted with these thoughts, start thinking about some of the good things, like the earth that God made, how lovely and how beautiful it is. Think about your salvation in Christ Jesus. Think about your heavenly home, which you're going to be at someday. So think on these things, and all these other thoughts will go away. You see, there's only make room, okay, in your heart for Christ Jesus. Let him be the only one that to live there. When you bring other things into your life and into your Christianity that don't belong there, the only thing that you're going to experience is strife. I guarantee it. The world has nothing to offer us, friends. Everything that we need is in Christ Jesus. So get all the way into Christ and all the way out of the world. Now, of course, I hope you don't think I mean to quit your job and go in a monastery. I think and I hope that you're intelligent enough to know what I'm speaking of. Verse 9. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, so God is the God of peace, not the God of hate. God doesn't hate you. He doesn't hate anyone. He, in fact, he proved it by sending Christ to die for your sin. Now, if God hated you, why on earth would he do something like that? God saves us because he loves us. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now, I forgot to mention that when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was in prison. See, so Paul experienced a lot of unpleasant circumstances, and he's relating these to us, and he's telling us how to handle these circumstances. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, this is something that Paul learned, he had to learn it himself, in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. Now, if you ever read Paul's testimony, and in fact it's in this book and it's also in the book of Acts, you know, Paul was a very, very intelligent person. He was educated, he was rich, he was known throughout the Jewish community, throughout the Jewish world, I should say. He was, like he said, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He kept the law. He did everything that a Jew could possibly do. And he also had a lot of persecution after he became a Christian. He lost most of what he had as a Jew. And now he's relating his feelings of how he felt and how he dealt with circumstances. Let me read that verse 11 again. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewithin to be content. Now, what state might that be? Well, let's find out. I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And verse 13, okay, which I don't know how people, why they use it to prove somehow that you can become a millionaire or whatever through verse 13. And here's what it says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Does that mean I could be a nuclear scientist or become a millionaire? See, everybody wants to relate everything in the Bible to the world. You know, Paul in the three previous verses was talking about circumstances and how we can learn to be content in circumstances. So the all things that Paul is talking about, I can do all things through Christ, the all things that he's talking about is learning how to be content in any and all circumstances. Now, I don't know how that can be missed, and I don't know why people want to believe everything that they hear. Well, it just seems to be that way, I think, because a lot of times we're looking for something to satisfy the flesh, and if we get it, we think that somehow we're going to be content. Well, let me tell you right now, I don't care how much money you get, I don't care how many cars you have, I don't care how many boats you might purchase, I don't care what you are in this world, it's never going to be enough, because you're going to find yourself, when you get what you thought you wanted, you're going to find out that you want just a little bit more, and if I get just a little bit more, I will probably be maybe happy. And then when you get that, you're going to find yourself saying the same thing over and over. I'm saying this because I myself am speaking from my own personal experiences. I was, you know, a person of the world. I went out there setting goals because I wanted this and I wanted that, and I got everything that I set out to get. And guess what? I knew in my heart that there was something missing, but I didn't know what it was, and I didn't find out till 1981. It was Jesus Christ that gave me what I was looking for. Nothing in the world, and I can't say that I don't get caught up in that thought any longer, because I do. I am a sinner like everybody else, and I just thank God that He's taught me His Word, and that when I start getting these feelings of want, I say want because that's what it is. You know, it's in Psalm 23, it says, "Trust in the Lord." The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. See, God said He'll provide us with all our needs, not our wants. Everything that we want, we're going to get after we leave this earth, and then we won't have a desire for anything. Praise the Lord, you know. But anyhow, when I get caught up in those thoughts and feelings, you know, I have to get back into God's Word, and I have to realize, you know, what I really have. You know, how can you put a price tag on eternal life? And what could you possibly offer a man or a woman that has eternal life? And that a person who has heaven as their home for all eternity, no end, all eternity. See, when we think about things like this, then the things of the world become less and less, and they become less and less important. So do whatever you have to do in this world to make a living, to provide for your family or whatever, but by all means, don't make the world your God, because the world can never give you enough to satisfy your soul. Okay, friends, let's move on. So far, we found out that Paul said that there's a secret that he learned how to live in any and all circumstances and to be content. Now let's go on with that thought, and let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and 29, and read along with me if you have your Bible. Now this is a scripture that many of us know, and let's find out that you know, maybe a different meaning than you might have thought about. 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. See, not our purpose, His purpose. Now, again, what people do is when they're confronted with circumstances, especially unpleasant ones, when you're involved in a pleasant circumstance, you're certainly not going to call upon God. But the circumstances that we're talking about are circumstances that are unpleasant. Now, in many cases, when we read this scripture, you know, we seem to think, and I'm not saying that we're wrong when we think this, that, well, okay, I lost my job, so that means God's going to get me a better job. Or I lost my wife. God forbid, I hate saying anything like that, but I know there's people out there that get divorced, and they say, well, God's going to find me a better wife or a better husband. I smashed my car up. God's going to get me a better car. They always seem to think, and I'm not saying that we're wrong, that when circumstances are unpleasant, God replaces that circumstance, or that thing, I should say, with something better. But that's only a half truth. See, because we have to read the next verse to understand exactly what good. Let me read that verse 28 again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. But what's the good that God is trying to work here? Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. See, so the good that God is trying to do in us, okay, is to conform us to the image of his Son. Now, what does God use to conform us to the image of his Son? He uses circumstances, and it's mostly unpleasant circumstances. And here's an example of what I mean. In the book of Galatians, it said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, tenderness, self-control. I don't know if I got them all, but I'm not reading them. I'm just trying to, you know which ones I'm talking about. Now, God wants us as believers to experience these fruits, even though it's singular, fruit. God wants us to experience love. Now, how does God go about experiencing love? Remember what Jesus said in, I think it's in Matthew or one of the Gospels? He said, it's easy to love your own kind. He said, but I tell you to love your enemies. Now, why would Jesus say that if he himself doesn't want us to experience that? But how is God going to build that attribute in us if he himself doesn't bring enemies in our path? See? And that's why God allows circumstances and many times causes circumstances so that he can use this circumstance to conform you to the image of his Son. Well, I lost my job. What's good about that? Well, aren't you going to need some faith to know that God is going to come through with his promise that he will provide for you? Well, of course you're going to need faith. How is God going to build faith in you if he doesn't put circumstances in your life that require faith? How is God going to build patience in your life if he doesn't put people in your path or circumstances in your path that require patience, long-suffering? See, all these fruits are built up in us through circumstances. Or you know what? If we're not able to use these attributes, then what good are they? I mean, who are they going to benefit? How are we going to experience faith if our whole life runs perfectly smooth every minute? Well, a person that has that kind of life, and there's no one that does, but I'm just trying to make a point, how would that person ever need faith? What would he have faith? Faith in what? No. That's a bunch of baloney in plain English. You know, circumstances happen in our life because God wants us to experience his faithfulness. He wants to show us, look, looks like the worst thing that could ever happen to you. But you know what? I've given you an attribute called faith. And now what I want you to do is I want you to use it. Because you're going to see, whether you use it or not, and that's another point, you're going to see that I'm going to work this out for you for good. And that the end result is that you're going to have more peace. You're going to have more love. You're going to have more joy. See? Now, the reason I said he's going to work it out anyways, you know, God doesn't need us to do anything. And God causes all things to work together for good, it says. He doesn't need our help to do that. And it's unfortunate that many of us struggle and cry and get depressed through all these circumstances only to find out down the road, well, God worked it out anyways, didn't he? Well, that's what God's trying to teach you. He wants you to know ahead of time what's going to happen. So you can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, tenderness through any and all circumstances, as Paul says. Now, God, I hope that you're getting this, because many people, and it's a shame, and I say it's a shame because it is. You know, it's a shame that people that are supposed to teach others teach them something that's not true. You know, circumstances are good. unpleasant circumstances, evil circumstances are good, because these are the things that are going to show you that God is faithful to what he says. And he's faithful to his word concerning your mental state. He says you have the mind of Christ. I don't know, except in the Garden of Gethsemane, I don't know of one place in the Bible where Jesus Christ walked around for 33 and a half years worrying about something or getting downtrodden, losing faith. See, that was not the way he lived. You know, he lived the opposite way that we live. See, we try to control circumstances. We try to change circumstances. That's not the way to do it. You're to understand that a circumstance is there because God is trying to conform you, and he will conform you to the image of his son. So when you're confronted with a circumstance that brings you doubt, depression, stop right there. Say, wait a minute. This is happening because, first of all, I know that God is not allowing this because he's trying to punish me. I mean, get that thought totally and completely out of your mind, because that is far from the truth as anything could ever be. To think that God punishes you is ridiculous. And the reason I say that is it's so simple that a two-year-old child could understand it. And it's a shame that we are so influenced by enthusiasm, these charismatic, intelligent people that have degrees behind their name. We're more influenced by these people than we are the truth. You know, it doesn't require intelligence to understand God's word. It requires membership. God said that he would teach you. Now, why don't you allow God to teach you? You can listen to as many people as you want, and that's fine. But, you know, God forbid, please go back to your Bible and find out that what you're hearing, find out if it's true or not. And one more point, God is not going to punish you. Now, think about this. And run the tape back and listen to it 100 times if you have to. God is not going to punish you for what Christ died for. You know, about 10 years ago, I knew this person that I used to go to church with. Well, he lost his job. And he told me, well, you know, I lost my job, so, you know, I know that God is probably trying to get some sin out of my life. And I better start examining myself so I can get this sin out of my life and get, you know, back to work. Now, this is how insane people have taken teachings like this. But you know what I told him? I says, Nick, if this is true, God is punishing you in some way for a sin that you committed or still have in your life. How could that be? It says the wages of sin is death, D-E-A-T-H. See, until we realize that there's only one punishment for sin, and that's death, then we're going to start looking at things that happen in our life in a different light. Now, if the wages of sin is death, D-E-A-T-H, and Jesus Christ died, then the debt, D-E-B-T, has been settled. So that could never be true according to God's word. So my friends, don't buy the lie. Okay, we're going to close out this month's lesson, and we're going to stay in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 35 and read to 39. And please listen to what God says. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things, now see, he's talking about unpleasant circumstances, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38, and listen close, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, that's the future, nor height, nor death, depth, D-E-P-T-H, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So please, my friends, believe that when you're confronted with circumstances that are unpleasant, believe with all your heart that God will work it out for the good, and that he's using these circumstances to conform you to the image of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that's the end of this month's lesson. Thanks for listening. God bless you, and join me for next month's lesson.